For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Heavenly Body, as we pick up in John chapter 14, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now they were troubled because he had been saying these things. I'm going to go away. Where I go, you cannot come. He's been talking about his death. He's been talking about his betrayal. He's been saying things that are very troubling to them. And yet he said unto them, "Let not your heart be troubled, and the cure for it is believe in God and believe in me." Ye believe in God? And that is either a question or it's a statement. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. The word mansions is abiding places. In my Father's house are many abiding places. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where you go, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, for many years, I heard this scripture interpreted as beautiful mansions that God has up in heaven for us. So when we arrive in heaven, Peter will meet us at the gate and take us through the City of Heaven, down Glory Lane, and there in this beautiful forest of blossoming trees stands one of these beautiful colonial-type mansions with the verandas and the porches and the stream running past, and all the Lord says, "There you are, you know, check in," and the life. But as time is past, I have come to believe that what Jesus is referring to is not some beautiful home, English Tudor or Southern Colonial, that he has built up in heaven for me, but I believe that he is referring to the new body that I'm going to receive when I move out of this old tent. And Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "We know that when this earthly tent, the body in which we presently live, is dissolved, that we have a building of God that is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So then, we who are in these bodies do often groan, earnestly desiring to move out of them, not to be unembodied spirits, but that we might be clothed upon with the body which is from heaven." Now, God has a whole new body for us, far superior to the present body in which we live. The present body in which we live is compared to a tent, a temporary place to dwell, contrasted with the building of God, not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. The present body in which we live has marvelous features, but yet it also has features that aren't so marvelous. The present body in which we live has an aging process that takes its toll, so that we grow old. And as we grow old, the capacities of the body diminish, and we are not always able to do all of the things that we want to do or would like to do. And sometimes we foolishly get out and try and do some of those things that we used to do, and find that age has taken its toll upon the body. The body deteriorates. The body is subject to sickness, to disease, to weaknesses. Now, God has a new body for me. It's far superior to this body in that it will not need sleep for recuperation. Thus, if I had a mansion in heaven, I wouldn't need a bedroom in it, because the body won't need that period of recuperating its strength. Probably wouldn't need a kitchen, because the body will probably be nourished by other types of foods that the body will use them completely, so I probably won't need a bathroom. So when the Lord talks about in heaven, he's going to prepare a place for us, I believe that he's talking about that new body that he's gone to prepare for us. The building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And there in the kingdom of God, in that perfected state, we will dwell, live and dwell with him forever. Now, his promise, as if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the Lord kept his promise to his disciples, and he came and received each of them to himself, and they are dwelling with him now in his kingdom. He kept his word, and he'll keep his word to us. For one of these days, he's coming to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And there comes that time in life when leaving this body to be with him is far preferable to remaining in this body, when the Lord comes to receive us to himself. Now, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, here again is one of those radical statements of Jesus Christ. Last week he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Radical. Now he is making another radical statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Here Jesus is declaring that he is the only way by which a man may come to the Father. Now, there are those people who declare all roads lead to God. All religions lead men to God. All roads go to God. Not so. There's only one road that leads to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father. Now, people may try to find other gods and serve other gods, but they don't serve the true and the living God except through Jesus Christ. No man, he said, comes to the Father but by me. A couple Mormon boys came up to the door the other day. And I said, the problem is, you talk like I talk, but you don't believe as I believe. Your words are like mine. You say that you believe in salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and his death for you. Yes, they said, that is true. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and we're saved by our believing in him. I said, yes, but the Jesus you believe in is a different Jesus than I believe in. For the Jesus that I believe in is not the brother of Lucifer. And you believe that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, don't you? And they said, yes, we believe he's the brother of Lucifer. I said, then he's a different Jesus than the one that I believe in. Because the Jesus I believe in is not the brother of Lucifer, but the only begotten Son of God. And if he were the brother of Lucifer, Lucifer being a created being would make him a created being and would put him on a whole different level than that level in which God's word declares that he is, who was in the beginning with God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So you say you believe in Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. You're preaching a different Jesus than what the Bible reveals. And as far as that goes, you're also preaching a different God. For the God that I believe in is not an ascended man, nor do I believe that you're going to be a God. And you believe in a God that was a man ascended, just as you are ascending to a godhood state. I said, so though you may use the terms God and Jesus, they're a different God and Jesus than what I trust in. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. That is a radical statement. A lot of people wish that Jesus had not made that statement. We are accused as Christians of being too narrow. You need to become more broadened in your outlook on life. Surely God would not restrict the path to him by just one way. Well, you've got to then set aside the claim of Jesus Christ, and if you say he was wrong when he said this, then you're saying he is not trustworthy. His word is not trustworthy. You see, one thing about Jesus making these radical claims, man, he forces you to a decision. Either he is the way to the Father, the only way to the Father, or there are other ways to the Father, and if there are other ways to the Father, then Jesus was not telling the truth. If he was not telling the truth, then how can you trust him in anything else that he said? So call me narrow. Call me what you wish. Jesus made this radical claim, and you either believe it or not. Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What a radical statement. Jesus is getting down to the end of the road and he's just making one radical statement after another. He that hath seen me. You want to see the Father? Look, you've been around me for a long time. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For he goes on to say, the works that I do, I don't do of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. The words that I speak are not my words, but the Father who sent me. I am here representing the Father. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, God would appreciate it if all of us could make that statement, but I don't think that any of us can. I am to be God's representative in the world. I am here to do the works of God. I am here to speak the word of God. But unfortunately, many times I'm doing my own works and speaking my own words. So it's impossible that I could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In some situations, yes, but not in all. But with Jesus, it was consistent all the way through his entire life. He was a perfect representation of the Father. In all of his works, in all of his words, in all of his deeds, he represented the Father. And so do you want to know what God is like? You can look at Jesus Christ. For the purpose of his coming was to manifest the Father to man. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his own dear Son. God revealed himself in times past through the prophets, but now he has revealed himself in the perfect revelation through his own Son. And if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And so, what kind of a God has He revealed to us? A loving God, a compassionate God, a God who is concerned for the needs of man, a God who is weeping over the failure of man, a God who desires to redeem lost man. For He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And what a beautiful God He has revealed to us through all of His life and ministry. And that is the God that we know and we worship and we serve, the God revealed to us by Jesus Christ. If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Now, in a sense, we are also God's representatives upon the earth. And even more so, we who have taken the position of teachers of God's Word. We stand here to represent God and to declare God's truth to you. But what an awesome responsibility that is. Because standing here as God's representative, God is concerned that I represent Him in truth. Now, Moses got into big trouble because he failed to represent God rightly. When they came to the wilderness area and they were out of water the second time, and the people began to murmur and complain unto Moses, and Moses went in and said, God, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I can't stand anymore. I didn't give birth to all these people, and I'm tired of carrying their load. Here they are murmuring again. God, I'm so sick of it. God said, hey, cool down, Moses. Go out and just speak to the rock, and they'll get water. Well, Moses went out, and he was angry. And he said to the people, must I smite this rock again and give you water? And he took his rod, and he smote the rock in anger. And God, in His love and grace, gave water. But He said, Moses, come here, son. He said, Moses, you really misrepresented Me before those people. You went out in anger. You smote the rock. I told you just speak to it. And now they are thinking that I'm angry with them. I'm upset with them. I'm not angry or upset with a Muslim, but they think I am because you were representing Me to be that way. Moses, I don't like being misrepresented. I wonder what God thinks about all these people who represent Him as being broke, bankrupt, and almost out of business. Poor God, bail him out quickly, friends. Get your letter in. Or God's going to be in the bread lines next week, and His work is going to fail. What a poor representation of God. And so God said, Moses, because you failed to represent Me there at the waters of Meribah, you cannot go into the promised land. Hey, that's serious business. Your lifelong dream is shattered. Why? Because you failed to properly represent Me before the people at Meribah. God's representative, oh God, help me to always realize that awesome responsibility of being His representative. So if ever I look like I'm really angry with you, I'm not representing God, because He's not angry with you. He loves you. If I look like I'm really upset and out of sorts, I'm not really representing God, because He's not upset and out of sorts. God has such great patience and compassion and love towards you. And to be His representative, we must also have great compassion and mercy towards one another. He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. What marvelous words. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak them of Myself, but the Father that dwells in Me, He is doing the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very works' sake. All the way along, Jesus was saying, the works that I do, they bear witness of Me. I claim to be the Son of God. And the works that I am doing bear witness that My claim is true. I am doing the works of God. What were the works of God? The healing of the sick, the lifting of those that were fallen. This is God's work in a needy world. I'm doing the work of the Father, and else believe me for the very work's sake, for the witness that they are to you. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. We are to do those same works that Jesus did of showing compassion and love and tenderness and concern and care. And greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, those are two promises for prayer that are absolutely so broad that they are staggering. Jesus is saying, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Broad, broad promises. But to whom are the promises made? He's not talking now to the multitudes. He's not standing in the temple court crying out, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. He's talking with those men who have forsaken all to follow him. He's talking to his disciples. And what constitutes a disciple? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of John on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning John 14. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
God be with you and bless and keep you through the week. May the Lord strengthen you as the evil days are waxing worse and worse, as perilous times have come because of the pleasure madness of man. But may the Lord establish your life in Christ, and may your faith increase, and your love and devotion to the things of God, to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, The Man God Uses, asks, are you willing to become an instrument that God can use to accomplish His will? In this inspiring book, Pastor Chuck examines the personal characteristics of the people God used throughout the Scriptures. What set these people apart to be used by God? With remarkable insight, Chuck reveals that answer and more. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.